It is so true, and it applies. Thank you. As simple as that is, it is so true, and it applies to us too. So, praise the Lord. It looks like I'm getting ready to preach, doesn't it? Typically, that's what I would do right now, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to throw you a little curveball tonight. And before we jump into the teaching message time, I want to do a couple announcements because at the end I want to focus a little bit more on the spiritual things. But food boxes, by way of introduction here, for Christmas is going to start tonight. So as far as collecting items for our food boxes that we'll be distributing to those that need those things at Christmas that could benefit from that, the church annually, let me contextualize that, annually we put together several, we call them gift boxes, but they're really, now we use bags, and usually includes a turkey or a ham and fixings for a meal. And we take that out to certain folks in our, usually congregation or connected to our congregation that would benefit from that. And so what we do is out here on the connections counter is a Christmas tree, and you can take the little tags off of it and get whatever, pie filling, or I don't think they do pie filling, but whatever the items are that would fill those bags. And so we ask, as the Lord leads, that the folks of the congregation do that. So that's out in the foyer. It's up and ready to go tonight. I want to thank Desiree and Brianna for all the work they put in, along with all the, we had a good turnout last night for decorating the church. So I praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for that. And then also want to mention Christmas Eve service. It'll be December 24th, Wednesday night. 6 to 7 p.m. right here. So put that on your calendar and make sure that, whoa, you're ready for that. I don't know what happened there. That was not me. That was my thing here. So, yeah, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And so, if you have kids, high school and under, we always have a gift and it's a good time. We keep it condensed because it's Christmas Eve and I know a lot of folks have family and what have you, so we don't go on and on. It's a great time, and it's a unique service that we do on Christmas Eve. So love to have everybody out for that. All right, so what I want to do now is get into to the message. I didn't tell you this, but we have a guest speaker tonight. But it's not a person that is alive. So it's like, you know, Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. what you're going to hear in just a moment is the voice of Billy Graham. And in 1975, he preached this message on Thanksgiving. It's not very long. It's about 12 minutes. And I thought, I heard it the other day for the first time, and it struck me. And this is why I want to play it. So as you listen to this, I want you to think about what he says, of course. It's a very dense message, meaning he has a lot of information. It's impressive, actually, for the amount of time he has. He packs a lot in. And so it's got a lot of information, but the application is so relevant. And it's 50 years ago. That he preached us this week, 50 years ago this week, 56-year-old Billy Graham. And then after that, I'm going to come up and finish up with a message. But I promise we're going to get out of here on or close to time. So go ahead with the video, please.
We're living in an extremely ominous and dangerous period of history. Never before has the human race been so well-armed and ready for war. In the eyes of many, it is only a question of time until they will be exploded in warfare. How much longer do we have? No one knows. Events are now tumbling upon events. Let's obey the scriptures and pray for those who are in authority, that God will give them extra wisdom, courage, and strength as they make momentous decisions that decide not only the future of this country, but of the whole world. It was in a religious sense that our founding fathers observed the first American Thanksgiving. They were devout Christians and students of the Bible, and they paused to give united thanks to Almighty God. At least 47 of our years of history, there was no Thanksgiving. From Madison to Lincoln, there was no day of Thanksgiving set aside. Nor has it always been on Thursday, nor has it always been in November, as we celebrate it today. Only since the days of President Grant have November and Thursday been the custom. In fact, the Pilgrims had theirs on December 30th, 1621. The first official proclamation for a day of Thanksgiving was made in Charleston, Massachusetts, June 20th, 1676. from that time till the first Congress held in New England, it was an old New England custom to have one day a year to set aside as a day of Thanksgiving. The New England representatives brought it into our national focus in 1774, and the first proclamations for a day of Thanksgiving were issued by Congress from 1777 to 1783. But in more recent times, it has been a proclamation by the President of the United States. On each occasion, he has usually called the people to humiliation and prayer. Millions of Americans, however, use it as a day for frivolity, festivity, and sports, rather than for humbling themselves before God and thanking Him for the many material and spiritual blessings that we know and enjoy. Those who have set aside a day of thanksgiving to God were Bible-believing men. They were the first ones. They had found in the Bible that God had often called His people to a time of solemn thanksgiving. More than 150 times the Bible either calls men to thank God or tells them how to give thanks. In Old Testament days, God designated a special offering of thanksgiving for His people. The Bible says, "With cakes of leaven and bread, He shall offer His oblation with the sacrifice of His peace offerings for thanksgiving." God was ensuring the people of Israel against the time when they would forget to be thankful to Him. God called upon His people at very special occasions to have a time of thanksgiving. When Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem, they were to give thanks. When under Jeremiah they rebuilt the broken walls of the city, they again were called upon to express thanks to God. In the days of revival under King Hezekiah, he proclaimed an official day of thanksgiving in which the people brought their sacrifices and their thank offerings into the house of the Lord. More than 30 times in the Psalms, the psalmist speaks of giving thanks. The psalmist said, "Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." And again he said, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." He even said that he would arise at midnight to give thanks unto the Lord. Jesus taught us to give thanks as He gave thanks and broke the loaves and the fishes to feed the multitude. He thanked God again when He broke the bread of communion for the disciples the last night on earth. At the grave of Lazarus, He said, "Father, I thank Thee." Paul emphasized thanksgiving when he said, "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So thanksgiving is a part of the most intimate relationship that exists between man and God. And yet there are millions today of even professing Christians that neglect to thank Him. It is the custom of many Christians, for example, to bow in public places and to give thanks for the food that has been placed before them. I've had scores of waiters and waitresses and even stewardesses on airplanes to tell me that when I bowed my head, that it was the first time they'd ever seen that happen in their restaurant or seen it happen on an airplane. Millions never pause to give a word of thanks to God, even for the food that has been provided, or even the water that we drink, or the air that we breathe. Few homes have a moment of thanksgiving at the beginning of the meal, or at any other time of the day. Even on this day of thanksgiving, it will mean nothing more than a time of fun, gluttony, and sports. And only a minority will stop and give thanks to God, even though if there was ever a moment in history that we needed to humble ourselves and pray and thank God for the blessings that we've enjoyed, it is now. Thanksgiving is recognition of a debt that cannot be repaid. We express true thanks when we're not able to reimburse the giver. When thanksgiving is filled with true meaning and not just the formality of a polite thank you, it is the recognition of dependence. We thank our friends for doing for us what we desired and needed because we're in debt to them. But because of the pride and arrogance of our hearts, we take from God without even the formality of thanksgiving. In view of the ominous foreign events and the dark clouds beginning to gather on the economic future of the world, this Thanksgiving should not be a day of frivolity only. It should be a time of sober heart searching. I'm asking you to have a prayer meeting in your home on Thanksgiving. I'm asking you to have a family altar in which there is a time of humility and repentance and thanksgiving to God for His past blessings. America is living in a critical hour. This is the hour that we are to turn to God. If on this designated day of Thanksgiving we ignore God and we refuse to give Him our thanks, then maybe we deserve His judgment. The peril that stalks the nation today cannot be eliminated by political rhetoric or even religious conferences. It is time when we need to acknowledge our national sins and our national guilt before God. Our pride has caused us to forget that what we have by the grace of God. Let us pray that on this Thanksgiving, as a nation, we will remember that righteousness exalteth a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. The Scripture says that a lack of giving thanks is the beginning of the downfall of individuals as well as nations. The Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifested in them. For God showeth it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood through the things that are made, even His everlasting power and Godhead, that they may be without excuse, because that knowing God, they glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks. Here is the tragic story of the degeneration of pagan nations, and at the very beginning of their degeneration was the failure to give thanks to God. This failure was the evidence of the pride of their hearts that declared that they thought they could get along without God. How many Americans refuse or neglect to give thanks, indicating to God, God, I don't need you. I can get along without you. According to the Bible, if we should be guilty of the sin of unthankfulness to God, it would be a sufficiently serious sin to damn us as individuals and to destroy us as a nation. Hosea the prophet said concerning unthankful people, for she did not know that I gave her the grain and the new wine and the oil and multiplied unto her silver and gold, which they used for other gods such as Baal. Therefore will I take back my grain in the time thereof, and my new wine in the season thereof, and will pluck away my wool and my flax, which should have covered her nakedness. Here we find a principle at work in the history of nations and of people that has not changed since the days of the prophet. We are guilty of taking abundance from God and forgetting to express thanks. The Bible teaches that if we persist in the sin of pride and unthankfulness, then the irresistible forces of the judgment of God will eventually take their toll. The Bible says, beware lest thou forget Jehovah thy God in not keeping His commandments. The Bible says the very goodness of God should lead us to repentance. All of these material blessings are gifts of God's hands in order that we might humble ourselves and repent and come to the cross of Christ and have our sins forgiven and washed away by the blood of Christ, that we might be born again. The goodness of God should lead us to repentance. Secondly, we should thank God for the spiritual blessings beyond the power of human tongue to describe. Here in America, we still have freedom of worship that we take for granted every day. In many parts of the world, there are believers who cannot assemble themselves. They cannot speak their religious convictions because of totalitarian power. We have Bibles all over America. We have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel by radio, television, and through films to millions. God has blessed us with 1,001 spiritual blessings. We've seen great spiritual renaissance this past year. Thousands have been swept into the kingdom of God using many methods of evangelism. Evangelicalism has come to the fore and has become very visible during the past year as people have been talking about being born again. We should thank God for the great spiritual freedom and spiritual blessings we have as a nation. We do not know how long the doors will be open. We do not know how long we're going to be able to do this. If ever there was a Thanksgiving we need to thank God, it's this Thanksgiving. Thirdly, we should thank God today for peace. We have at least a temporary respite in which we can turn to God. No bombs are falling on our cities. How much longer that will last? No one knows, because Jesus predicted there would be wars and rumors of wars till the end of time. But more than any other spiritual or material blessing is the blessing of God's offer of salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same one who gave His only begotten Son is the giver of every other benefit. The Bible says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? To all who have received the gift of His Son, He gives also the gifts of peace and joy, confidence, power, courage, and hope. When I see Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, I see the nails in his hands, I see the spike in his feet, I see the spear in his side, I see the crown of thorns upon his brow, and I remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to take my place on the cross. I must bow in front of that cross and say, especially on Thanksgiving Day, thank you, Lord, for not sparing your Son. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. In these days of uncertainty and confusion, these are gifts that go beyond our power to understand, and yet they're the gifts of God that became ours because we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. At the beginning of this Thanksgiving week, I want you to receive the gift of God's grace which is in His Son, Jesus Christ. He can give you peace and joy and hope in your heart today by trusting Him. To the rest of you who name the name of Christ, I beg that on this next Thursday, that we make it a day of real thanksgiving, in which we fall on our knees and give humble and sincere thanks to God for all the spiritual and material blessings that He has poured down upon us as a people. Shall we pray? Our Father, indeed, this day we do thank Thee for all the blessings that we have, both material and spiritual. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now that is an intense message. 12 minutes of preaching. You don't hear that much on the radio like that anymore. What a great admonition. I was referencing that and looking at it, and I got convicted and said, you know what? I'm just going to play the whole thing because it's worthy to hear again. So 50 years ago, this week, obviously that was the beginning of the week, not the day before Thanksgiving. But Billy Graham was 56 years old and he preached that message. And when you listen to that, it sounds, he could have been this week. He could have been today. And very, very similar, type of environment. And of course the attitude of gratitude is so important. So I want to just take a few minutes and hit some of the lessons that we can learn, not just from this message, but from the Word of God, most importantly, about Thanksgiving. And what I like about that message is its relevance and its urgency, right? There's an urgency that Billy Graham had at that moment, and you could tell it, you could sense it. That was like a prophet's voice, spoken to this nation, right? No doubt about that. And as the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun. So today we face the same world in the same flesh and the same devil, the battles are real. As he was talking about people not praying in public and all of those things, and sometimes we have this Norman Rockwell picture of the past. That isn't the way it is. There's a new battle, a new day, for every generation. And so it's good to hear those things, even in context. And so, today we face a lot of these same things. So some of the new mechanisms to evil, are in place just as we utilize new mechanisms to get the gospel out. And so a lot of the same things were in place in 1975. Life had moved to Technicolor, right? JFK had been assassinated. Nixon had been impeached. The confidence of the powers that be was at an all-time low. The great independent Baptist fundamental movement that came through the 50s into the 60s got hijacked by the peace movement, right? And the fundamental Baptist preachers like myself didn't know what to do with the long-haired hippies, right? So they're having problems. And Billy Graham's up here preaching, and there's all of these transitions going on. And just historically. And so life was different, but yet it really was the same. And it wouldn't be until the advent of Ronald Reagan in the 1980s that there would be a pivot toward conservative values and restoration of what many in 1975 felt was our former greatness. Right? So in 1975, the Vietnam War, what a bummer. America hit in the gut, had to withdraw from Vietnam under difficult circumstances. And I was, of course, I don't remember a lot of details about it, but I do remember some. And of course, relatives that were there and were participating in all of those things. And so what I do know is there's a lot of battles that were raging, and there's still a lot of hot battles today. So we should be prayerful. We should be thankful. We should be cognizant of our role in winning the war for the gospel and the kingdom of God. There's a few Thanksgiving lessons that I want to take away from the Word and the message that we heard from Billy Graham. Graham starts with the state of war the world was in. And we're still in, we're actually in more wars today than we were then, right? Since, you know, just not too long after this, about 10 years after this message, we started engaging in protracted wars that this country has never seen before. And so it's been an intense time of war in this nation ever since then. And so we could come tonight. Am I on? I'm on, but it's not coming through. All right. Huh? I'll just do this. All right. So I think I'll do this. Is this on? There we go. Is that better? Yeah. Hang on. Let me unhook here real quick. That's okay. This will be crisp. All right. So, there's been a lot of spiritual war since then, and today we're engaged in this great conflict, and it's important that we have an attitude of gratitude and that we are thankful for what God has given us. It's interesting to hear what Billy Graham was talking about then as far as apathy in the churches, right? We could say that today. We could also talk about revival as there is today. He talked about a great movement of God. There's a great movement of God even today. And I think it's interesting how in his second point, he gave the good news of the Fresh Movement in 1975, and he was right. But you can remember what happened to that movement, right? By the 80s, right before I got saved, I got hijacked. And I don't know if you guys remember that, but it became political. It was about the moral majority. And lost people like me looked at it and laughed. I just thought it was a joke. You know, you had Jerry Falwell hanging out with, who was that guy? Jim Baker, you know, I'm talking from a lost person's perspective, just old enough to start paying attention to that stuff. It was a joke. It was a laugh. And, man, it was just, I mean, at that time, Billy Graham was probably, he was alive, right? He's probably doing some heavy duty praying, watching all of that going on from 1975 to 1985. Wow. Where did Christianity go? And by the way, churches were being built. Big churches were being built. There was a movement. People were coming. And a lot of that was still going forward. And, man, but you know what we lost? From 1975 until 1985, suddenly the Bible started changing. And the battle for the Bible. Yeah, there was an NIV out and all of that. But by 1985, 86, 87, the standards were changing. Before that, when Billy Graham preached this message, most Americans were reading a King James Bible, even in 1975. That was the standard issue. But by the time, 10 years later, NIV was popular and being pushed, and then, of course, the NASB and all kinds of other Bibles. And by the time I got saved March 25th, 1987, to hang on to your King James Bible, man, you're old school, old-fashioned. Who does that anymore? And so it changed very fast. There's a battle. There's a battle for the word. There's a battle, and what he said was true. It's important to be thankful. By the time I got saved in 1987, man, things were changing. And I tell you what, it's been a battle ever since. God is moving, and the devil has been countering all the way through history. And if you've been in my sermons in the past on Thanksgiving, I tend to gravitate toward history and in the history of Thanksgiving in our nation. It's really unique here in the United States that we have a nation dedicated a time for Thanksgiving. And I like the way Billy Graham pointed out the first one was December 30th, right? And so right around that time, and of course that's the pagan winter solstice on the 25th. But you know what? Those Puritans that founded this nation were doing, they were giving God thanks. Right, because they depended on God to live, and today, as Billy Graham was pointing out, even in 1975, we take for granted oftentimes what God has given us, and so that's my first point tonight. I want to just say this: let's not take God for granted. Amen. This Thanksgiving, let's not take Him for granted. Of all people who are Christians, that should be given to Thanksgiving and prayer, we should. In 1975, the hour to repent and give thanks was nigh. I mean, you heard the urgency in his voice. Now, at that time, I don't know if they were thinking about the rapture or not. They definitely were thinking about nuclear weapons, right? They were thinking about end times. They're getting ready to have those movies. What was that movie? No, not the secular movies. Thief in the night. Thief in the night was on its way, right? Thief on the night was on its way. And we were imagining what it would be like. Because actually in 1975, 1980, 1988, it was still a little harder to really imagine how can those things in the Bible come to pass. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have data networks. We didn't have any of those things. We didn't have personal computers. Like we had my mom, she worked for NLT, which became ADP. They had tape reels. A whole room as big as this, full of tapes and key punch operators working the data, right? And punch cards for programming, COBOL, all that stuff. And so that was technology in 1975. The thought of a personal computer, that didn't come along until the 80s, right? And so things were things that we couldn't even process back then. How could everyone even be connected and receive a mark? How could everyone see? Right? We always read Revelation. How could everybody see at the same time? The world's round and there's people on the other side of the planet. How could they see instantly? It's like we're not the Jetsons. Well, we will be. And so now today, 2025, it's so easy to see. Right? It's so easy to see 50 years later. How is that going to happen? The opportunities, we should give thanks tonight for the glory to God for the goodness that He has given to us. And opportunities are one of the things that we need to be thankful for. Because He mentioned that door. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 9, he said this. I'll quote this from Paul, the Apostle Paul. I got to get done here. I'm about out of time. It says here, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. You know, opportunities come. God opens doors, and that doesn't mean they're not contested. And we need to make sure we praise God and we thank God for the opportunities that He has given us. Just practically as individuals, you know, some things that we can thank God for today is our breath, right? He's making our lungs work, making our heart beat. We got up this morning. We're ambulatory, right? Well, some of us are more ambulatory than others, but we're able to move around. We're functional. What health we have, we've been given by the Lord. We enjoy that. The relationships, even tonight, the relationships that we have. Man, we enjoy those things. We're thankful for those things. JB, I bet you're thankful that your son's able to come in from Iowa, right? Relationships are important. We're thankful for those things. We're thankful that you guys came tonight, by the way. And so, of course, there's a myriad of spiritual blessings, starting with salvation, then our church family, our understanding of Scripture, the ability to have a Bible in our language, the Holy Spirit of God that teaches us all things whatsoever He said unto us, the gifted men and women in the body that teach us, that teach our children, that serve through various ministries, from mowing our lawn to cleaning the building to assembling Bibles to carrying our physical needs or caring for our physical needs when we're ill and in the hospital. You know, God gives us all this grace so that we have the opportunity to honor Him on a daily basis. So we can't take that for granted. We need to be thankful for that. And you know what? Another thing that I'm super thankful for, and I bet you are too, is that when we fail, He restores us through His Word. And isn't that something to be thankful for? In Lamentations 3:22, this is a verse that we're probably familiar with. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Aren't you thankful for God's faithfulness? I am. Every day He's there for us, even when we haven't been there for Him. Of course, you know 1 John 1:9. I'm thankful that we can have forgiveness through Christ. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? He is so sufficient for our sin. That's something to be thankful for. This is not just a day of the year. To be thankful. Of course, this should be an attitude of gratitude that we have all year. Billy Graham quoted from Leviticus 7:12 in that passage where he's talking about God is teaching the nation of Israel about the peace offering. And that text says in Leviticus 7:11, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord," verse 12, "if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, and fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread, and with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings, and of it shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. It shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And so the first time you find Thanksgiving mentioned in the Bible, it's there in Leviticus, and it's associated with the peace offering. The last time you find Thanksgiving in the Bible, it's in heaven. It's in Revelation 7:12. The Bible says, saying, "Amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And so Thanksgiving is the evidence of heaven on earth. From the peace offering to the restoration of the nation of Israel in the millennium, which is the context of Revelation 7:12. Israel is fully restored, and all the 12 tribes are functional once again. That is the next mention of, or not the next mention, but the last mention of Thanksgiving in the Word of God. Was God literally is bringing peace to earth, bringing the Word of God to earth, and bringing His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so He is reconciling all things to Himself. So Thanksgiving is the evidence of heaven on earth. And you know what that means? You are an evidence of Thanksgiving. Every one of us, as Billy Graham said, that is born again, man, that is a great Thanksgiving. And God has left us here on earth, though we're bound for heaven, for this purpose, so that other people can meet Him and know Him in a personal way and have a relationship with Him. So God's goodness is amazing. And when it comes to Thanksgiving, we can't ignore that Jesus is our peace offering. He was our peace offering personally. Not only the means of Thanksgiving, but the object of Thanksgiving. In the book of Ephesians 2:14, the Bible says, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Not only does He bring us peace, not only does He give us peace, He is our peace, right? He is the sacrifice for sin. He is our peace offering. He is the object of our affection. He is the object of our thanksgiving. And so God's goodness should create in us a perpetual attitude of gratitude. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with that. And so when I was a young Christian, the preacher would always say, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And make a point that, you know what, you got to be thankful in everything, but you don't have to be thankful for everything. How many of you heard that before? And we've all heard that. But the Bible actually says in Ephesians 5:20, He covers both angles, right? In Ephesians 5:20, the Bible says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we are to be thankful in all things and for all things. But you say, "Yeah, but bad things happen. I'm not thankful for them." Right. I get that. But you know what we can be thankful for? A God that has delivered us, right? And so as bad as it ever gets here, we got glory waiting. And we know Romans 8:28 is true. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So we can trust God's goodness even when things around us are going bad. And we can be thankful for that, His nature, instead of the nature of this earth. So don't take your blessings for granted. In Psalms 100 and verse 4, you guys know this, it says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations." I'm thankful that God's truth endures to all generations, right? So you can have hope tonight that not only there's some people who dropped dead in 1975 in whatever state that was, and they were thankful, but we're our next generation. That's 50 years ago, right? And it goes from generation to generation. And that message, man, unbelievably apt to today. Different, I'm sure he was talking about nuclear war and things like that, but it's still very applicable to today. So the things that HBF should be thankful for, that's how I want to end tonight. Let's talk about some things we should be thankful for, and then we'll have some testimonies and we'll close with some prayer. The things HBF should be thankful for, well, I would say number one tonight is souls, right? Well, let me back up. The Lord Jesus Christ, right? We started there. That's what I've talked about. But beyond that, right, the things that we should be thankful for are the souls that God has blessed the church with in the last year, even the last several months, right, from youth camp on. Man, God has been bringing souls into the kingdom of God, and it's been exciting. Let me ask you, how many of you led someone to Christ this year? Show your hand. All right. Praise the Lord. Man, maybe in 2026 we can say, "Lord, I'm thankful for those that led someone to Christ. Let me lead someone to Christ." Not that you're good. It does, you know, our merit and our standing before God isn't if we lead someone to Christ or not. But I can tell you this. There's more people that want to be saved than there are people going to share the gospel. And I can tell you this, too. It's easier than you think. So really, we got to ask God for boldness and an open door. And understanding there's going to be adversaries. And so let me ask you this. How many of you Have gotten saved? Anyone in here got saved this year? I'm just curious. No new converts in here this year? Okay. We've had a lot in the church. I know that. Another thing that we need to be thankful for is those that are faithfully following the Lord as disciples. And that's a transformation of life. That's exciting. Not just going through the lessons, but actually seeing spiritual growth. And I know that's happening as well in the lives of many. Let me ask you this. How many have started Discipleship 1 this year? All right, several in here. Praise the Lord. I hope you're enjoying it. It's a good time. How many of you are discipling somebody? All right, that's good too. Praise the Lord. How many of you are discipling someone for the first time? All right, Mary, JJB. All right. JB led someone to Christ this year, didn't you? Yeah, praise the Lord. How many of you have seen someone established in the four goals in the last 12 to 18 months? Now you're getting specific, Brian. Okay, so some of you are like, yeah, you get that. How many of you have completed how to disciple? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, we got, and you're already discipling. Praise the Lord. That's great. That's incredible. How many in here are in D2? All right, several in D2. How many in HBI? Curious about that. All right, a couple of them. Three of us. Awesome. So I'm just saying those are things that they're kind of like benign things. They're like, oh, yeah, it's kind of your structure. But you know what? Those are really, honestly, getting the word of God in people to where we can understand it and apply it and then give it to other people. That is everything. That is what God has left us on the planet to do. And so I'm so thankful that God is blessing in the discipleship arena. And I thank God for that. Another thing I want to thank God for is the scripture, right? Just this year, I mean, we literally just shipped off the Sierra Leone scripture like last week, and it's on its way right now. It probably haven't even gotten to the port yet, or if it is, it's just getting ready to launch. And so that was 64,000 New Testaments for Sierra Leone. I'm estimating we probably had 80,000 binds this year, easy. When you put the Bible conference on top of that. And so a lot of binds. You just got a new binder. I mean, praise God for just that ministry alone. Had a great Bible conference, and praise the Lord for that. The Albanian translation, I just found out yesterday that we're going to be able to get that expedited. And so I praise the Lord for that. And meaning we're going to probably be able to hit their deadlines to have it produced and published and distributed the first time in Albania, at least some of it. We may not hit all the goals that they need, but we'll have enough to get them started, and that's exciting. Lord willing, actually pray for that. We need to pray for that because there's a lot of things that could go wrong between January 1 and all the other benchmarks in between on that critical path. So that's something to pray about. How many in here are part of Word First? I'm just curious. All right, several of us. All right, praise the Lord. That's good. We need to be thanking God for that. You know, Word First doesn't work without people. We're not that automated. Right? So you got to have people. And so I praise the Lord for those faithful folks, not just working for the conference, but all year round. I'm thankful for the leadership that God has given to that ministry with Bob and Carrie. I'm thankful for all the teams, the funds, the projects, the partners. Maple City Baptist came in this year. Man, I'm thankful for that. Invested $6,000 in the project. I'm thankful for Grace Baptist that invested enough. They purchased like 13,000 New Testaments and assembled them. I mean, that was a good lift. That was a big lift. That really helped us get to the Bible conference. And so that was a real blessing. I'm thankful for all of the other partners that came in and churches, and praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for the spiritual leaders that we have here in our church. I'm thankful for the spiritual leaders we have in the homes. Do we have any new marrieds in here? I'm just curious. So we're all old marrieds, I guess. All right, no newlyweds, at least. I don't know how many we have in the church. But, man, if we have any, be praying for them. How many new babies do we have? One, two. I know we have about probably three or four, if I went down and thought about it, which I didn't tally them all up. Yoders, of course, time goes so fast. You think Shipley's? Yeah, Shipley's. Yeah. Who's? Cohen. Oh, yeah, Cohen's. It's so they come, and then the next thing you know, they're two or three. So, man, I'm thankful for the new life. Just like literally, physically new life. That's a big deal. We should be thankful for that. I'm thankful for the small army of ministry heads that lead the ministry each week. Lead people in and out in ministry. That's huge. And for the pastors that tend to the flock here at HBF. There's just a lot. And Luke, who's kind of pastor in training / admin / like he's the utility player for everything. Man, God's using him and blessing him. And man, I'm thankful for the leadership God's provided in everybody's nuclear homes and also in our church home, because that's mission critical to not going off on a tangent and getting caught up in the distractions that come and the ebbs and flows of life. I thank God for the parallel partners that God's given us, both for Bible publishing and also like-minded ministry partners for missions. The pastors that we partner with, Maple City, doing all the things they do for us and we do for them, that Philadelphian relationship. Man, it's good to have parallel partners and Philadelphian relationships. Okay, so we're commanded to pray for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. And so I do pray that we would do that. And before we close up here, and I am over here significantly here, I just want to give you guys a chance to open the floor for some thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? We want to give thanks to God for. You're thankful for that guy? All right. Anybody want to share?
Bible tells us to be thankful in all things, and I'm especially grateful that I have my daughter still, and that she is continuing to improve and get better and becoming a whole person again. Anything?
April, it's been amazing to see you. Just every week it's like you're better and better and better, so we praise the Lord for that. Looking forward to one of these days. We'll be chasing you around here. It'll be fun. So get you up and going. All right. Now, it's been amazing from seeing you in research and praying over you to seeing you here. I mean, and that was really, yeah, honestly, we didn't know at that point. I was afraid I wouldn't maybe see you until we get to heaven. So I'm glad you're here. Amen.
I'm just thankful that we're in a church that shares the gospel so much and takes it so seriously. And like Brian was saying, you know, there were not that many years ago when I, you know, just fumbled through it and thought it was so difficult and thought you had to know so much. And like Brian was saying, when I made a commitment to just go like he says and was obedient to do it at my work and in ministry and wherever I went, he just opened doors. And it's like I didn't even know what was going on. He was just, they were like asking questions, and it just opened it up. And it's really that simple. I am so thankful that the Lord does all of that work. And that's the number one thing that he's called us to do. And I just know that he wouldn't call us to that unless it was simple and he was going to do it really for us and through us.
I'm thankful for Anita, my discipler, and as a relatively younger person, just all the wisdom and guidance from the, maybe middle-aged people in the in the church. I don't want to call you guys. What was the aged? That seems a little intense. I don't want to call you aged, but yeah. Did you have anything?
Praise the Lord. Thank you. I can't be aged yet.
Yeah, please. I am so thankful for all the teaching and training from the faithful men and women in this fellowship. It's the only place I could have come to get this training from the place that I came from. I walked in the door and I haven't looked back since. And, you know, it's the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to each and every one of us, and what can we give back to everybody else around us. And I'm just so thankful for Pastor Brian and all the men that are teaching here. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Bueller? All right. Anybody else? One more time. Two more times. All right. I was, we got one. Sorry.
I'm so thankful for my family, my wife, my marriage, my mom, and my kids. For those who know my family, we came a little more than 2 years ago, and it's been so thankful the time we've been here, for my kids at school, for here at church. It's a blessing for them. They are so excited to come every time there's something. They are so excited to come. We are so excited to come. And thankful for my mom. She has arthritis and pain, but her mind is working so good now. And I'm thankful for that. Even if he doesn't think about it. But, like I said, for my marriage and for you guys and everybody here at church and the love you give to everybody. And we are so thankful for everything.
Okay, I'm thankful for them being here too. And I'm thankful that God is who God is. I'm glad that He blesses each one of us in a different way. He knows each one of us so well that He knows exactly what we need to be blessed by. And everybody is different and everybody has different blessings. But I'm just so thankful that He is who He is and that He's in charge of everything. I am just so thankful for that. That it's not me or anybody else, any person who's trying to put it all together, but it's God who knows how it's going to get all together and how long it's going to take and everything. But I just praise Him. I thank Him for Him.
Thank you. Yes.
I just thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit and the Word of God just showing me something every day and just treating me as a friend. And just so many people are looking for friendship nowadays, even with nobody being able to trust people on, you know, and then stick into close friends and neighbors. But I just also thank God for just bringing us to this church and also going through Revelation since last fall. That's great.
I'm thankful for you guys. Dave's been a big help and helped fill in real life. I'm not that it was a burden, but I am thankful, and I do appreciate you guys. Thanks for being here. Love you too, brother. This guy's he's a lover of good men. And all right, anyone else? I do want to say this. I was, Sam's been coaching it was at the Sporting. I don't want to say too much about it, but on Saturdays, and occasionally he runs across people, and I was like, one of them plays for the Chiefs, and I was thinking about the Chiefs this season, and they aren't the best team, for sure, and I was thinking about their quarterback, and. You know, that guy has carried that team year after year. But this last week when they played, you know what happened? The team carried him, and he didn't make it. And I was thinking, you know, when you're in ministry, it's a lot like that. There's times when you feel like you're carrying the team, and then there's times when you need the team to carry you. And so I just want you guys to know as a church, I'm so thankful for a church, because this is a church that will carry you when you're in ministry. And I don't just mean me, but I can speak for all the pastors here. We get a lot from you, and I know we all pour out a lot too. That's what we're here to do. But I just really appreciate HBF. I'm really thankful for the church that God's established here. It's His church, so I take no credit. It's all Him. But praise the Lord! Isn't it nice to be in a group of people that when you need carried, they'll carry you. You know, and it's a good relationship to have. All right. So what we're going to do is I'm not going to break down and pray like we normally do tonight. I just want to offer up a prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. for refreshments. But I do have the prayer pieces. And so what we're going to do is make sure after we're done, if you want to pray this week, even tonight, whenever, I'm going to leave these up here, and you can just come and grab as many as you want, and you can do that on your own. And as we get ready to go to prayer and just have a final prayer, I will remind you of a few prayer items that we need to remember this week.